with a sermon called Man of Steel, Man of Sin, okay? And the reason I'm going to preach this message to you is because, well, first of all, Brother Finney sent me a great article yesterday, which really got me going on this. I mean, I was already thinking about preaching on this anyway. I have been for a while, and it's just kind of been, I've been waiting for the right timing. But anyway, I'm going to read you this article first. This article is very shocking because it's basically telling you that they are marketing this brand new movie, Man of Steel, the Superman movie. They are marketing it to pastors and to Christians because they want them to promote this movie, to get people into get the church people to go see this movie. Because they're saying he's a type of Christ. And really what he is he's the man of steel. And I agree, he is the man of steel, but he's the man of sin. That's who he is. He's not a type of Christ. He's a type of Antichrist. That's exactly who he is. Anyway, so what they would like for pastors to do, now get this, let me read you the article. Okay, let's pray first. Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd move in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the new Superman movie takes flight this weekend, filmmakers are hoping the Man of Steel lands not only in theaters, but also in pulpits. So I thought I would oblige them today and let it land in our pulpit, but not the way that they thought. I'm going to do it a little differently. And the Bible says to reprove those things, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So I intend to do what they want. They'd like Superman to land in this pulpit today, and I'm going to show you how that man of steel is the man of sin. That's exactly who he is, and that no Christian has any business supporting that garbage. It's from the pit of hell. And it's all, well, anyway, I got to keep going. I don't have time. Warner Brothers Studio is aggressively marketing Man of Steel to Christian pastors, inviting them to early screenings, creating Father's Day discussion guides, and producing special film trailers that focus on a faith-friendly angles of the movie for quality assurance. The movie studio even asked the theologian to provide sermon notes for pastors who want to preach about Superman on Sunday, titled Jesus, the Original Superhero. The notes run 9 pages. Well, that's longer than most pastors' sermons, so that might actually do something for them. How might the story of Superman awaken our passions for the greatest hero who ever lived and died and rose again, the sermon notes ask. Similar campaigns to corral the country's large number of Christians into the movie theater have been used for Les Miserables, Soul Surfer, and The Blind Side, all of which had at least some faith angle. Baltimore pastor Quentin Scott is among dozens of ministers who receive an email invitation from Grace Hill Media, a Hollywood-based Christian marketing firm, to an early screening of Man of Steel. A Hollywood-based Christian marketing firm. Wow. Okay, really? There was an actual push to say, we're putting out something that speaks to your group. It doesn't speak to my group. Amen. It doesn't speak to our group here. At least it better not. And it may not after today, because I plan on killing all these superheroes today from this pulpit. But kryptonite doesn't stand up to the word of God. If you think kryptonite kills Superman, you wait till this book does today, because it surely will prove him to be the Antichrist. I had somebody say, you're just trying to ruin everybody's fun. You're absolutely right, I am. There you go. Let's get that on the table. I'm trying to ruin your fun. I don't want you to have any fun. That's right. Okay, there we go. I don't want you to have a pleasure in sin and have fun with it. Because it's only pleasurable for a season and then it's over. And then we get to come up and clean up the mess that you've made of your life. There was an actual push to say, we're putting out something that speaks to Christians. At first, Scott said he didn't buy the religious pitch. He didn't buy the religious pitch. Then he decided to attend a free midweek screening in Baltimore. Do you understand that they offered them a free screening to pastors? Why? So these pastors of these mega churches that have 2,000 or 3,000 members will tell their flocks to go watch this movie, and they'll all shuffle into the movie theater to watch this movie because the pastor preaches that it's a good movie. When I sat and listened to the movie, I actually saw it was the story of Christ, and the love of God was weaved into the story, said the pastor. Well, if that man's a pastor, he's either lost or an idiot, and I don't know which one it is, but Superman has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Well, I should say, he does have something to do with him, and I'll prove that today, but it's not what you think. He's an antichrist message, like all the superheroes are. They're replacement gods. That's what they do. They replace, and it's not a new story. It's the same old story. It's not a new one. I tell you this all the time. I can't preach to you a new story. It's the same old story. And when you're talking about the devil, it's the same old story. It doesn't change. You're just too busy watching Superman fly around in his underwear to figure that out. But it's the same story from Genesis to Revelation. No matter which attack it is, it's the same one. He said, it was something I was very excited about that with the consultation of our senior pastor we could use in our congregation. Grace Hill sermon notes are specially designed for churches like Shiloh to integrate multimedia into their services. Let's take a look at the trailer of The Man of Steel, the notes suggest, after briefly introducing the movie's history and themes. The man behind the notes, Pepperdine University professor Craig Deltweller, has prepared similar material for films like 2009's The Blind Side and The Book of Eli from 2010. The spiritual themes in Man of Steel are abundant, Deltweller says, and his notes enable Christians to thoughtfully engage with pop culture instead of shunning it. Thoughtfully engage with pop culture. Pop culture is hell. It's satanic. It's wicked. It's Illuminati masonry. It's wicked. I can't wait till these messages go online because I know they're going to make some people upset. You say, why do you want to make people upset? Because I want you to think about what you're doing. I want you to think biblically and not what some marketer, marvel not, that Satan comes as an angel of light. It's all too often religious communities have been defined by what they're against. Thank you. With a movie like Man of Steel, this is a chance to celebrate a movie that affirms faith, sacrifice, and service. The faith of devils? Well, yeah. That, by the way, that's another part of that. We'll get to that here too today. This is going to be a fun day. It will be hard for even casual Christians to miss the messianic metaphors in Man of Steel. The messianic metaphors. That's right. The movie focuses on the origins of Superman, who was sent from the planet Krypton as an infant to save his species. He is raised by surrogate parents who help him grapple with his special powers, even though they don't fully understand the source of his extraordinary abilities. I do. The devil. When he turns 33, Superman must willingly sacrifice himself to save the human race. That's Christ's ministry, was when he was 33. If that's not enough, as a boy, Clark is shown wrestling with his superpowers and asks his earthly dad, Jonathan Kent, did God do this to me? Somewhere out there, you have another father, and he sent you here for a reason, says Jonathan Kent. By the way, I'll get to this later, but Jonathan Kent's middle name is Joseph. And the original name of Martha was Mary Kent. That wasn't an accident either. That was on purpose. Even the visuals hammer home the messianic motifs. Is that right, motif? Did I say that right? All right. During a fight with his archenemy, General Zod, Superman plunges down to the earth. His arms stretch out as if he were crucified. And of course, he rises again. Deltweller writes in the sermon notes, what Jesus and Superman both give us through their hero actions, but also their human actions, is hope. If you need hope from some stupid movie, no kidding. What a joke. What an absolute joke. I think it's very good that Hollywood is paying attention to the Christian marketplace. I do too, because they've been doing it for years. They've been deceiving God's people for years. Hollywood is satanic. Who runs, by the way, you remember that, sure, Hollywood is religious because Satan is religious. You remember that, right? Satan's very religious. He's very religious. Said Ted Baer, who runs Movie Guide, a website that reviews family-friendly films for a Christian perspective. Where it gets sticky is when they try to manipulate the market and when Christians try to manipulate Hollywood. But here I think we have the right balance. That's right. But other Christians are heaving a supersized sigh at the movie marketing. Any pastor who thinks using Man of Steel ministry resources is a good Sunday morning strategy must have no concept of how high the stakes are or very little confidence in the power of God's Word and God's Spirit, writes P.J. Wenzel, a deacon and Sunday school teacher at Dublin Baptist Church in Ohio. As they entertain in their congregants with material pumped out from Hollywood sewers, lives are kept in bondage and people's souls are neglected, according to Wenzel, who said he was emailed information about the movie. Scott, the Baltimore pastor, said he knows that Warner Brothers Studios has a financial incentive in pushing the film to pastors. Well, of course they have a financial incentive. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. It's about money. It's about filthy lucre. His church won't show clips from the movie this weekend because it had already planned out its services, but he plans to use them later during meetings with the church men's group. If you give me another opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus Christ, and I can do that because of your movie, that's a win for me because it's about spreading the gospel. Now, that's fundamentalism. So all those fundy pastors out there can act like they don't do this, but that's exactly what they do. They just turned it up a notch and outfunded you, and that's what you guys get mad about. Because they outfundy those guys. Instead of walking away from all of that garbage and saying, I have nothing to do with that, what do? They just merge it together into one. That's exactly what they do. So you see, in the opening of this right here, what they are doing is trying to push an agenda here. Hollywood is mixing together with the Christian industry, so to speak, and pushing together a motive, a plan, in order to entice people. They are going after Christians. That's what their target is. They're saying that we realize that we've made this, we've put enough of pictures of faith in there, of pictures of a God-man, which we're going to break down here. But they are putting enough of it in there in order to try to attract Christian people to it. But we're going to prove from the scriptures that that man of steel is not Christ, but he's the man of sin. He is the Antichrist. That's exactly what he is, and all of the storyline will prove that. All of the storyline will prove where it came from, the original, where it originally came from, what it's all about. What we're going to cover today, we talked about it earlier, Man of Steel, Man of Sin. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I don't have time to go down that road, but that is just a fun verse right there. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed from the Lord, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And another verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You have this thing today called this movie that is being marketed to Christians, by the way, called The Man of Steel, this Superman movie. Now, excuse me. This is being marketed to Christians. They're making no bones about it. That's exactly what they're doing. In fact, they're sending, like we read in the article, they're sending notes out to Christians, or to sermon notes to pastors, and say, here, if you want some help with sermon notes in order to preach about the man of steel and how he's like Jesus Christ, here, we'll help you with your sermon on Sunday. Let me be as blunt as I could be. Hell would have to freeze over first before I would ever let Hollywood prepare sermon notes for me. Do you understand that? Before I'd let some wicked organization that hates God, that hates everything about God and is anti-Christ, before I would let them give me sermon ideas. God help us. But instead, I'll use their wickedness against them and reprove them with the light of the Word of God and show you the truth that it needs to be shown to people today, because people are being deceived. They're being deceived all over the country, all over the world, but especially in America. American Christians live in a bubble. They live in a bubble of safety. See, we don't see what the outside world sees mostly. We have been guarded and protected from many things. Now, we have also, with that protection, comes the heavy hand of civil government, and comes the overreaching hand of the federal government, which we've seen with our president, who is basically spying on everybody and his mother. And I mean that, and his mother. Everybody. He is spying on everybody. So with that, you get that with it too, because if you'll trade, like Benjamin Franklin, I believe it was, that said, if you'll trade security for safety, you deserve neither. Or security for liberty, then you deserve neither. So anyway, which is right, but when you say things like that, that sounds so terrible today. But it's not terrible, it's just how our country was founded, and we've strayed so far away from the truth of those things that we can't handle it. However, anyway, people are deceived today. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You've heard the 10 sermons that I preached on Satan and his kingdom and everything else that he has done. Well, now we're going to switch over a little bit. You've heard that this is going to be added to the Hollywood series, by the way, this set of sermons, because it goes along right with it, the superheroes as well, added to that. Now, let's look at this name, the Man of Steel. Let's look at that first, the name itself. Isn't this fascinating? If you understand the Bible at all and what we've been preaching on, the sons of God, daughters of men, all the way through, you will understand how this movie, and I'll talk about that, fits the theme of that. This Superman's character nickname is the Man of Steel. It's always been that. The Man of Steel. What does that mean? Well, steel is iron combined with a small portion of carbon. It's iron refined and hardened, used in making instruments, particularly useful as material of edge tools. So we understand that's iron. That steel is kind of a form of iron. Now, turn to Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 32. And the Bible foretells of a kingdom that is coming. It tells about the fourth kingdom that will come. And it's very interesting that in this fourth kingdom that comes, there's some characteristics about it that are amazing. Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 32, Nebuchadnezzar is ready to kill everybody. Sounds like a dictator and a tyrant. He's ready to kill everybody, and all the soothsayers and everybody that he wants to kill him because they don't answer it. So he comes in, and Daniel gives him the interpretation by the word of God. God gives it to him. Anyway, Daniel chapter 2 verse number 32, this image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces, in verse number 40, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And in verse number 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay, and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. So we've read these verses before, the iron mixed with the clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, what is this? This is the kingdom, the fourth kingdom that shall arise, which is a spirit kingdom, which is the beast, the antichrist, the false prophet, shall arise. And he shall speak great swelling words against the Most High, and he'll speak blasphemy against the Most High. But however, this is foretelling of that spiritual kingdom that will come. The iron is the spirit world, okay? Number four represents the spirit world. It's the fourth represents that of a spiritual nature. The iron represents something from above. All the chariots of iron the Bible talks about. You just do a study on iron, you'll figure out where it comes from, or what the image is of that. Now, anyway, so we have the iron, and the clay is always man. The clay is always man. We are clay. We are made out of the ground, okay? So we are that clay. So this kingdom that will come, that will arise before Christ comes with the everlasting kingdom, will be the iron mixed with the clay. What is that? Antichrist. It's his kingdom. He will come and he will be born somehow. He will be indwelt by Satan somehow. Bible says that. And Satan will give him his power. He will rule the world. He will conquer the world. And it says that his seed, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Happened before. Don't have time to get into that, but it's happened before. It'll happen again. He says it will happen in that fourth kingdom. This will come over all the world. This is what's to take place. So what does this have to do with Superman? Well, actually, the name has a lot to do with it, because in that name it says Man of Steel. Who is the Man of Steel that will come? The Antichrist. He is the Man of Steel. He is that iron mixed with clay that will come. Now, I don't expect you to believe me just offhand right there. If I stopped right there and I stopped the message, closed the Bible, we all prayed, we all went and ate some food, none of you would believe anything I'm about to say or that I've said so far. Well, some of you may, because you've studied this out a little bit. However, when information upon information is compounded and compounded and compounded and compounded more and more, it's going to be left without, there's no doubt about what the game plan is, and what it has always been with superheroes and with this thing of Superman. So, and by the way, this was brought to our front door when it comes to this. The creators of Superman, the Man of Steel, these men that want to do this, they want to market it to us. They want to market it to Christians. So I don't run away from controversy. I pretty much embrace it, and I go after it, and I take the Word of God to destroy it, because that's what we have to do. We have to reveal those unfruitful works of darkness. We have to show them. We have to reprove them. We have to tell the truth about them. That's exactly what we're going to do today. A Superman is foretold in prophecy of that Antichrist, that iron mixed with that clay. You think it's an accident that they use that? You think it's an accident that Jerry Siegel and the other fellow that invented Superman, you think they didn't know any of this stuff? Okay, maybe you do. Well, I could believe that. Oh no, they didn't know what they were doing. Okay, well, let's see if they knew what they were doing. Okay, as we go further this, let's see if it was a plot and a plan. Let's see if it's always been a plot and a plan. And then later on in the next service this afternoon, we'll see if superheroes was all a plot and a plan. If it's the same game plan, if it's the same game plan of the mystery of iniquity that doth already work, we'll see if it's the same one. Superman is nothing more than mocking the biblical account of Christ's coming. This comic book hero is nothing more than a mock of Jesus Christ. They mock the coming of Christ. You know what Krypton means? It means the hidden one. It means the hidden one. It's a mystery. It's hidden. Who's that mystery? Babylon. Mystery. Mystery. The Father's name that sends him is Jor-El, that sends his only begotten son, Kal-El, to earth. Get these names, Jor-El and Kal-El. We'll cover those in just a second. There's a picture of a holy, unholy trinity here. There's a strong father-son theme in this movie between Superman and his human father. Throughout the film, repeated flashbacks recall this relationship, establishing context for Superman's morality. Later, Superman is introduced to the holographic consciousness of his biological father, Jor-El. In this incarnation, Jor-El offers guidance and a sense of clarity to Superman, known by his Krypton name, Kal-El. It's even hinted that Jor-El is like a ghost. It's a spirit. So here you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jor-El means God will lift up. God will uplift. Kal-El means the voice of God. So what they're saying is when they call him Kal-El, that El means God. House, you've heard the word Beth-El, which means house of God. Okay? It's not an accident, by the way. These are Jews that made this up. So Jews understand the meaning of these things very well. They know them better than you do. They could teach you. Amen! They can teach you that Old Testament and prove to you and show you exactly what they're doing. So it's not an accident. They know the language. They understand Hebrew very well. These men that created Superman. But that name means voice of God. Let me ask you, what do you think about that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What are they doing? Mocking Christ. Or did you actually think a couple lost Jews that are heathens actually want to uplift Christ? Do you actually believe they want to? No, they hate Jesus Christ. I'm not being anti-Semitic. I'm telling you the truth. Just read the Bible. It's very clear. I don't hate anybody like that except the devil. I know they're deceived. The Bible says that blindness has come to Israel. They're blind. They don't get it. Superman loves to pose like Jesus in these movies, by the way. There's a scene where Superman leaps up from a spaceship outside the Earth's atmosphere. Instead of taking a confident nosedive or a cannonball, he falls backward from the ship with his arms extended, mimicking a cross. You think that's a coincidence? Or you think they did it on purpose? Of course they did it on purpose. They're mocking God. They're mocking the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Again, I ask you again, why would a couple lost Jews want to uplift Christ? They wouldn't. They're mocking Him. Later on, I'll show you that basically what the lost world... Well, never mind. We'll get to that later. I'll keep going. Superman, the other thing that runs through this movie is that Superman is willing to die for our sins. In the film, General Zod requests that the people of Earth deliver Superman in exchange for not destroying the planet. Superman, of course, turns himself in. You know, he's going to save the world. So he turns himself... What are they doing? Well, he already fell back like in the cross position, which all of them do, by the way. Every single movie, all of them fall back. You know, it's interesting because around that same time that a lot of this was going on, when Superman was first invented, A.W. Pink talked about that world is looking for that Superman. But there were others that talked about that. And we're going to talk about that too, which is very interesting. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Russ. But I want to say to you, no marvel, like the Bible says, that Satan comes as an angel of light. The Bible says Jesus Christ came from God, that He is the Word of God. In the storyline of the movie, there's a conversation between Kal-El's mother and Jor-El up in the skies. And she says, they will kill him. He'll be different than them. And Jor-El says, he'll be like a god to them. He'll be a god to them. Right. And who is the god of this world? Satan is the god of this world. The Antichrist will be him in the flesh as he indwells the Antichrist. That's the message. He will come and indwell a man, and he will take over that man, the man of sin, that man of steel will come. See, you have to understand something. The Antichrist is that man of steel. He is going to be that perfect man that everybody wants. He is going to be the master negotiator. He is going to be the good-looking one. He is going to have the power to do signs and lying wonders. He is going to have, with all deceivable of unrighteousness, he is going to fool and he is going to trick the world. And I'm telling you, this movie, Man of Steel, is the man of sin. He's the man of sin. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Superman does not derive his power from God, but from some other source, the sun. Ra, the Egyptian sun god. Interesting, isn't it? The man of steel is the man of sin. He is the Antichrist, the mocker of Christ, the phony one. Consider in the original, his earthly dad's middle name was Joseph, and his father dies before he's fully grown. Well, so did Joseph in the Bible, that's right. He died before Jesus was fully grown, before his ministry. Then consider that the original Martha, his mother, was actually named Mary, but they later changed it. That can be proven. You can see that in the comics that they show that. So the voice of God comes to earthly parents named Mary and Joseph. And it was written by Jews. Cabal Jews. You know what the Cabal is? Well, you'll find out today. Here's another quote in this. You will give the people of earth an ideal. This is from Jarrell, his God up in the stars. You will give the people of earth an ideal to strive for. They will race behind you. They will stumble. They will fall. But in time, they will join you in the sun. You see how pagan that is? And people put this stuff in front of their faces every single day. And they watch this garbage and their children watch this. And you try to get them to understand who God is when you confuse them and confound them with all this garbage. You think about that. They will race behind you. That's true. Because the Antichrist will rule the world and the world will race behind them. He will elevate them to something above what they are. They will evolve into something better. Don't you understand that's the goal of the devil? His religion is evolution. That man will evolve. Yea, hath God said, you'll be like gods, Eve. Eve's dream will finally come true with Superman because they will have that Superman. They will evolve. In time, you will help them to accomplish wonders. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Man of steel is the man of sin. There are just a few more items of interest which may possibly be connections between Kal-El and the red dragon Satan. Listen to this. Since Superman derives his power from the sun, that would make him the kind of sun god. Satan has something has sometimes been compared with the sun gods of ancient mythology, such as the Egyptian god Ra, the Greek-Roman Apollo, and the Persian Mithra. The infinity serpent burned into Clark's chest in the second season finale of Smallville is another fascinating correlation, as Satan is often recognized as being or controlling the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And one of his titles in Revelation 12:9 is that old serpent. Finally, it would be quite simple to draw a pentagram inside the five-pointed shield and emblazoned on Superman's costume. Pentagrams are used in ceremonial magic and Satanism the world over. Not that such details is conclusive, but I just thought I'd include it for the sake of being thorough. Now, end quote. If you look at Superman's chest, do you know what's on it? Yeah, that's a snake. That's a serpent. And I want you not to believe me. I want you to think I'm crazy. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to go back to the original comic book, the first couple years of it, and you will see that they put a serpent on his chest, and they later changed it to more of an S. But in this new one, the Man of Steel, you see a red S, very definitive, and it looks like a serpent, because it is a serpent. That's what it originally meant. It was a serpent on his chest. See, why is that important? Because you're being fed something, that's why. And God's people have just soaked it all in and taken it, and they've not stood up. See, why do you have to preach about things like that? Because they're real. They're everyday life. I'm not Joel Osteen. I don't preach how to have your best life now. I'm going to preach to you about sin and wickedness and repenting and getting right with God and abstaining from all appearance of evil. And separating yourselves unto God. That you be a holy, righteous people separated from sin. And get the carnality out of your life. And stop living with fairy tales. And understand that there's a real world out there. There's a real devil out there. And while you're being romanced by Hollywood, he's helping people go to hell. And you and I are given dollars, or used to give dollars, to help him do that. To propagate their kingdom. Every dollar supported to Hollywood, is a dollar that they use to replace God in the lives of people. And I don't want to spend my life trying to dig through a bunch of trash to find something that I would say would be halfway decent. I would rather just say, you have it all, it's yours, I don't want it. Amen? I don't need it. I don't want to dig through the trash to try to find a jewel when there's not one there. Let it go. Walk away from it. Be clean from it and preach against it. Stand and be different people, that you're not deceived by this man of steel, man of sin. He goes on to say in the movie, my father was convinced the world was not ready for me, that they would kill me. There is literally, again, a shot of him ascending from the earth all the way up above the stars. I will ascend above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I will be that uber, super man. By the way, he flies around, which Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan can go to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. He has the power. Did you see Jesus flying around? Did he just go, did he fly around with the cape on? Did Jesus act like that? Did he walk around like that? That's right. He didn't walk around like that. No. He didn't walk around in a flashy, showy type outfit, did he? To show the whole world. No. He was the meek and lowly one that nobody wanted. Sure, he showed his disciples when he walked on water. He showed his disciples that. Sure, he healed. Sure, he raised the dead. But he was always humble through it all. It wasn't about showing everybody his power or his might. In fact, the devils tried to show it and he tried to hide it. He told them to shut up. Just be quiet. Don't say anything. So what is the history of the writers of Superman? Where do they come from and what was their goal? And what did they do? I guess it's important to understand that, isn't it? Because if I don't understand that, then I might think that all this stuff is just a coincidence. That it's just, and by the way, let me say this, I understand that people don't know these things, that's why we teach and we preach on these things. So if you've watched that, I've watched them before, if you've watched those things, I'm not trying to condemn you today, I'm trying to inform you today. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to teach you something that you can understand, that you can take home and say, you know what? That's the way it was, but it's not going to be like that anymore. I'm done. I'm going to repent of that. I now know the truth about it, and I'm going to walk away from it. It's not there to just to sear you. It's there to teach you and to equip you and to inform you of it. It's there to edify you. The Bible says that. We can go back and we can lament the past if we want to, but there's no time for it. That's also a snare of the devil. All we can do is repent of it and move forward and move on for Christ. We're pressing toward the mark. That's what we're doing. We're not looking back. Once we've done it, we've repented of it, now it's time to press toward the mark. I can't worry about what I did before. I've got to press toward the mark. Amen. So understand that that's the goal. It's not to sit here and just, oh man, we're just terrible. Yeah, we are terrible. All of us are. We're wicked as a devil sometimes. And we have to repent many times over because we do things that are wrong. But that doesn't mean that we live our lives in that state of sorrow all the time. That's why Christ gives forgiveness. Amen. That's why Christ came to set us free. Amen. He came to make us free and then he sets us free. And when you're made free and then you're set free from the sins of this world, you're not under bondage anymore. You've been made free. Made free. Amen. In 1934, enter in the first superhero with magical power, Superman. Actually, the Phantom was the first superhero, but he was just an above average human, no powers. It was during the rising persecution of the Jews in 1934 that two Jews themselves, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, created Superman, a man they called their Super Jew, of moral integrity who used his gifts only for the good of humanity. There are a few other superheroes as loved and admired as Superman, who has inspired millions of fans throughout the years with his moral strength and supernatural abilities. Although Superman's fantastic powers themselves change according to Bob Hughes of Amazing Heroes in number 96, June 1st, 1986, he states that it becomes clear that there is approximately one substantial different version of the Man of Steel for each decade of his existence. The moral dignity and character of Superman has remained the same. Without doubt, then Superman is known to be trustworthy and reliable in contrast with our leaders today, who, as the movie The American President so eloquently puts it, seem to want to change their identity with each new poll found in the morning's paper. So Jerry, one of the founders, lost his dad during a robbery, both those boys being poor and puny, and their conviction that within them, as well as their hero, lay a man of steel, if only we looked hard enough, the author said. They made analogies between Superman and the biblical tale of Samson. In the book, Ty makes analogies between Superman and the biblical tale of Samson, who came forward to rescue the Israelites from enslavement by the Philistines. Ty further proclaims that part of Superman's mythology was inspired by no less than the Mishnah and the Gemara. The three legs of the Superman myth, truth, justice, and the American way, are straight out of the Mishnah, Ty told the Times. The world, the Mishnah reads, endures on three things: truth, justice, and peace. The explosion of Krypton conjures up images from the mystical Kabbalah. You know what that is? Everybody know what the Kabbalah is? It's a Jewish mystical religion. Madonna's into Kabbalah. Britney Spears is into Kabbalah. It's all tied into Masonry. It's all tied into the One World Illuminati religion, all brought into witchcraft, all the same. So Superman derived the theory of it basically comes from Kabbalah. It comes from that, which is understandable when you understand that they were Jewish men that they weren't Orthodox. The explosion of Krypton conjures up images from the mystical Kabbalah, where the divine vessel was shattered and Jews were called on to perform the Tikkun Olam by repairing the vessel and the world. Golem is the magic creation of life from the Kabbalah. Golem is what they did with Superman. Superman is Golem. And what that means, Golem is attribution of human form or other characteristics to anything other than a human being. Examples include in depicting deities with human form and ascribing human emotions or motives to force of nature, such as hurricanes or earthquakes. In Jewish folklore, a golem is an animated anthropomorphic being created entirely from inanimate matter. The word was used to mean an amorphous, unformed material in Psalms and medieval writing. In the 2006 writer of Superman had this to say: and this was a story about Christ. It's all about sacrifice. The world, I hear their cries. So what happened? He gets the knife in the side later in the 2006 version of Superman. He gets the knife in the side and later he falls to the earth in the shape of a crucifix. It was kind of nailing you on the head. But I enjoyed that because I have always found the myth of Christ compelling and moving. That's the writer, Bryan Singer, of Superman. The myth of Christ. I've always found it compelling. Isn't that nice? Don't that make you want to go out and go to a movie theater and spend $15-$20 or how much ever it costs on a movie to go in there and support the guy that's saying that Christ is a myth? Yet I can't tell you how many people on my Facebook page or in the news feed have posted that they went and seen that movie. Yeah. You ever heard of the philosopher Nietzsche? You ever heard of him? Yeah, he wasn't a Christian. He was a pagan. The philosopher Nietzsche talked about a Superman and said that every man could obtain that. The show Smallville, which was about Superman as a young man, as a teenager growing up, referenced his works in the beginning and in the end. Do you understand that? They talked about Lex Luthor comes out and he opens up a book and he says, you know, my father taught me with Nietzsche, and he used Nietzsche, and Nietzsche talked about a Superman, an Uberman that would come, a Superman that would come, that would rise above all and lead this world. Sure he did. The Bible talks about him too. He's called the man of sin. But you call him the man of steel. And that's okay. That's an accurate title. He is the man of steel, the man of sin. It's all a picture for you. All to prepare people for the coming of the Antichrist. The philosopher Nietzsche talked about that. By the way, that same show, they show Clark Kent dying on a cross, beaten and battered. In the first episode of that series of Smallville, which I watched before I was saved. They had his arms like this. He was on a cross. They hung him on the cross. They put like an S in the middle of his chest, and they had him hanging there on the cross. Only you want to know something interesting? He didn't die on the cross like Christ did. Lex Luthor came out and he cut him off the cross and he took him down and he let him go. Do you see that distorted picture? No? I see it. Because Superman would never have to die like that. He would rise above that. He always rises above that. But Jesus Christ gave his life. No man took it from him. He gave it. There wasn't somebody that could have put chains on him and said, you either save the earth or I'll... You either turn yourself in so you can die, or I'll protect the earth, or you just let them die. No one could do that to Jesus. Jesus gave his life willingly. Man of steel, man of sin. But in every generation, there is a false antichrist that rises up and assumes the satanic role. We've seen it in the Caesars, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Hitler. And now, it's the superhero phase. We see now this man of steel for this generation that rises up and to right the wrongs of the world. Now, there are other political leaders that believe they're God. Our president thinks he's God. He really does, whether he admits it or not. He really does think he's God. He would tap God's phones if he thought he could get away with it, if he thought God had one. But anyway, that's how he is. But he thinks he's a God. But let me ask you a question. Think about this man of steel. Was he really a picture of Christ? Why would the Illuminati-ran Hollywood promote it? Why would an agency that hates God, why would they promote that? Why would directors that hate God, why would those that bring out every matter of film that is blatantly blasphemous to God, that curses in his name, that shows nudity, fornication, wickedness, lasciviousness, theft, death, murder, mayhem, and everything else. Why would they want to promote Jesus Christ? They wouldn't. They're mocking him. Why would God's people want anything to do with it? What are they doing? What is Hollywood doing? They're ushering in the Antichrist. They're making his path straight. They're preparing the world for this spiritism, this sons of God, this fallen, which we'll talk about the next hour, this fallen angels that are about. You know, Superman uses magical powers to fight off other and worse demons than himself. But it's the devil's same old lie, good magic versus bad magic. Oh, Superman has all these powers, yeah, but he's good. Well, when did God ever give anybody powers to shoot X-ray vision and to shoot lasers out of his eyes and to do all? When did God ever give any man that power to do that? Oh, there's going to be a one that comes and has quite a bit of power. Superman in the beginning stood for conservative characteristics, so parents and children read their comics. But making him fly appealed to the flesh of a man and enticed men to want to read more and accepted him like his godlike powers as normal. In 1934, you enter in the first superhero that had those magic powers. After a starship crash landed in a field, baby Kal-El emerged totally naked, symbolic of a birth and purity, by the way, from its womb-like cave with a rural setting, like Jesus in the manger. At one point, his small arms were outstretched in a cruciform posture. The mystical age, Jesus was 30 when he started his messianic mission on earth, having previously lived a low-key life in a relative rural obscurity in Nazareth. Similar, Clark Kent left his rural low-key life in Smallville and walked into the fortress of solitude as a troubled 18-year-old teenager. 12 years later, at age 30, he flew out of his protective isolation as Superman. Think about that. Both Superman and Jesus had earthly family ties. Both had heavenly origins. Both heroes were raised incognito on earth. Both were of royal blood. Both righted wrongs. Both acted as saviors. Both displayed incredible powers. Both performed miracles. Both had normal lives. and mundane jobs. There was a divine mission. Jor-El told Superman that his job was to help right the wrongs of a troubled earth and in effect assist their evolution as a species. You see the twist in it? Jesus came that they might have life. But it was through his death, burial, and resurrection that they would have life, that they would have peace with God. But instead, Superman comes to help them evolve into what they're supposed to be. It's the old lie of the devil. You'll be like God. Like the biblical Satan did to Jesus. Lex Luthor in one of those movies tempts Superman and says, hey, well, he is Satan, but tempts him and says, hey, if you'll follow me, we can rule the world together. I'll give you all this world. You can run my whole domain here. You can run everything. We can rule the world with your power. With my brains and your power, we can rule the world. That's exactly what Satan said to Christ. By the way, another thing that you want to notice here, the Sons of God theme is all through the Man of Steel. By the way, every culture has a story of God's coming and marrying women and having godlike children with enormous powers. Every culture. The Genesis 6 account is the biblical account of the giants that roamed the earth. But the theme of Man of Steel is that you are not alone. There's aliens. One of the trailers, they flash out, you are not alone. What is that? That's the devil's plan. He wants you to believe that there are aliens out there. Well, there's some out there, and they do. You see, if you believe in UFOs, well, I believe in chariots, and I believe the Bible talks about angels being in chariots, and I believe there's some fallen angels in some chariots as well, and I believe they probably do manifest themselves sometimes out there. I don't believe that all the millions of people over the last 200 or 300 years that have recorded these events of what they have saw are all fake. I don't believe they're all lying. Hey, Ben. I don't believe their stories are very similar. What do you think they are? I think they're devils. I think they're fallen angels. Not all fallen angels are bound in hell, but we cover that in other sermons. What is this? It's nothing more than the iron mixed with the clay, the coming Antichrist kingdom. That's what this Man of Steel is about. It's coming. It's setting you up to believe that there are gods in the skies that are going to come, aliens that are going to come, and they're going to fix everything in the world that have evolved greater, and they're actually the creators of the universe, and they're going to come and fix all the problems on this earth. It's the coming Antichrist kingdom. Satan knows this, and he has prepped many for the replacement gods. The Antichrist will be that Man of Steel. He will come and rule with power and might, and he will do miracles and wonders. And if it were possible, even the elect would be fooled. He will be of his father, the devil, that wicked serpent, and the whole world will wonder after the beast. Just like Superman with the serpent on his chest. When the Antichrist comes, he will do a lot of good at first. With subtlety, he'll come and he'll do a lot of things. He'll fix, he'll make a treaty. The whole world will be at peace. I remember in one of those Superman movies, he got rid of all the nuclear weapons and the whole world was at peace and everybody was clapping because all the nuclear weapons were gone and he threw them all out into space or whatever. What was he doing? He was making peace. Who is able to make war with the beast? No one will be able to match the Antichrist strength on this earth. He will be that Superman that the world is looking for. That he will be like that. He will be that Man of Steel from the movie says that they will follow him into the sun. The whole world will wonder after him. All will follow him. The illusion of Eve's wish will come true that you shall be as gods. Look at the satanic deception. Hollywood is writing sermon notes for churches. If that is an Antichrist, I don't know what is. If that is not the falling away, I don't know what is. If we are not watching, visibly seeing a falling away of churches all over the place, I don't know what is. For churches that call themselves churches to allow that and to promote that and to promote movies like this just proves to you that they're mingled with the world and that deception has taken over. Amen. Christ didn't have bulging muscles and he was not attractive nor comely that any should desire him. He was that meek and lowly one. When Satan tempted him, he didn't fly down off the temple. He didn't come off the cross. He died on that cross. He gave his life a ransom. Don't take my Savior and match him with that child of hell. He's not the same. That's the man of sin. The son of perdition. That's the one. Don't mock my Savior and send some stupid sermon notes and expect somebody that has a Bible to follow that garbage. God help these preachers with that garbage. Letting somebody send them sermon notes, having their people go watch movies like that, promoting that garbage that is clearly anti-Christ. It's clearly a mixed message. Let me ask you a question. You've got young children here. If you send them to a movie like that and put some sermon notes and try to say, hey, look, you see Superman here? He's like Jesus. You think they're going to understand who the real Jesus Christ is from the Word of God? Do you think they'll get that? Do you think they'll understand it? No, you'll confuse him. Who's the author of confusion? The devil. He wants you to do that. He wants you to confuse him. He wants you to not to see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but to look at the sacrifice of devils. He wants you to do that. He wants you to believe that there's that Uberman, that Superman that will come. So he makes his hero up, and all the world wonders after this hero. $250 million in 2 weeks. It will be, they're estimating it will be the highest grossing superhero movie possibly ever. And now churches can have something to talk about so they can embrace pop culture instead of railing against it. Well, I'll be the one that rails against it, and I'll enjoy railing against it, and I'm going to put this sermon online, and I hope everybody hears it, and I hope they see the truth of it, that God hates that garbage. It is nothing more than the iron mixed with the clay. It is the sons of God theme. It is the theme set on hell. It's the mystery of iniquity that doth already work. It's the same plan. It hasn't changed. I'm going to prove that the next sermon that we have on superheroes, that it's the same exact plan. They've had them all the way since the Garden of Eden, all the way through. That's been Satan's plan. So we have this Superman that comes that's going to save the world. No, the only one that can save the world is Jesus Christ. The only one that will save the world is the one that died for the sins of man. And the one that defeated death. There wasn't a General Zod that could hold him down. There wasn't a devil that could hold him down. There wasn't death that could hold him down. Because he's God, and he arose from the grave, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men, and he's Jesus Christ, the Son of living God. He is not the man of steel, the man of sin. He is not. He's not some dream of a bunch of cabal Jews that want to mock him. And a bunch of spiritually challenged spiritual midgets that are trying to make comparisons of Jesus Christ to Superman. Do you think that God needs Superman? Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ needs Superman? Do you think that a church needs Superman to get the message out? Do you think a church needs sermon notes? Well, some of them might. Needs sermon notes from some preacher somewhere that's working with Hollywood, making a lot of money selling people, giving people his sermon notes out, becoming famous because he's doing that. Do you think God needs some magical powers? Does God give a clear message or a false message in the Word of God, or a mixed message? No, he gives a very clear message. His Word is clear. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that God tells you to look in movies and to look see the Christ in these movies. Yeah, there's a version of the Christ there, the Antichrist. There's a Gnostic Jesus in there too. We'll talk about that the next hour. Hollywood's got a Jesus. You're absolutely right. They do. They have a Jesus and they have another gospel. They absolutely do. They have that gospel that they preach, and they have another Jesus. But let me remind you, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. And so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So though an angel came down, so a man flew down. And by the way, Jesus would never wear tights. He'd never look like a Fruit Loop flying around with his underwear on the outside. He wouldn't wear a cape like that. He wouldn't walk around like that. No, he took a purple robe that was put on him when he was spit upon. See, there was no glory for the Son of Man when he came. There was no glory. Crowds didn't cheer him except when they said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And then about 30 seconds later, crucify him! Crucify him! That's Jesus Christ. That's the meek and lowly one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one that came. Not this man of steel, man of sin. Oh, they're right. There is one that's going to come. And I believe he's going to be a picture of this man of steel. He certainly is. Because the Bible says he's going to be. The Bible says he's going to do all these things. Remember? Remember the things that it said he was going to do? He's going to, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Same mystery all the way through. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. I'm going to prove to you the next hour as well that all these superheroes, it's nothing but the devil's, it's the devil's game. The whole thing is a plan from the devil. Replacement gods. Have you ever talked to somebody that all they do is watch movies and all they do is watch those things and video games and all those kind of things? That's all that they do the whole time. That's their life is spent doing that. And you know what? They can't have a decent conversation with you about anything. They can't. Why? Because they live in that fairy tale land where they actually sit there. The other day I was having a conversation with somebody and I was talking about Samson and the power that Samson had. And this person was trying to relate a superhero with Samson. And they were telling me this story about Samson. And they were almost in some ways discrediting the story of Samson with those superheroes. They were kind of discrediting a little bit and saying, well, how come somebody just didn't take an arrow and shoot him? I said, I don't know, because God's hand was on him, that's why. And I don't think the arrow would have done anything to him if it did shoot him. Amen. If hundreds of Philistines couldn't do anything to him, then an arrow wasn't going to do anything either. Why? Because God wasn't done with it yet. I'll go a step further. God may not be done with you yet either, so there could be a lot of things that come your way, but God protects you from those things. Because he's not finished with you yet. Now, when he's finished on this earth with you, he'll call you home and you can choke on a fly on the way out. Amen! But if God's not done with you, you could see a lot of things happen to you before you leave this world. Amen? That's why. Man of steel, man of sin. That's what it is. That's what he is. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Only the anti-type. The Antichrist, Nietzsche's Superman, Kabbalah's Superman. Amen. That's what it is. They talk about it. You look at the Kabbalah, you can see it. They talk about a Superman that doesn't need to evolve, by the way. He forms out of nothing. By the way, the strangest thing ever is if you, and I'm done with it, we're done, but the strangest thing ever is when you look at one of those movies, one of the Superman movies, the fact that, Kal-El, or Clark Kent on Earth here, but Kal-El was the only one that was in centuries that had been born from regular man and woman relations. The rest were born in these pods. But he was the special one that was born. It's all a mocking, folks. It's all a mocking of God's story. It's got enough of it in there to try to entice you to get you off of this. You know, you've got so many people today that when you're preaching through this Hollywood stuff, I've heard it all. What am I supposed to do then if I don't watch movies? I got a lot of work for you. You can come over to my house. I got plenty to do. Amen? I don't know. How about you go, how about you take God's word and you learn it? How about you do that? How about you get in that King James Bible and read it and learn something so you're not deceived by the devil's tricks? That stupid TV is not life. It's not real. It's fantasy. It's not reality. It's fake. It's phony. It's a phony existence. But it's got you captivated enough to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ because it's a tool of Satan being used to distract you, just like superheroes are a tool of Satan to distract you. You know why? Because half of the people that claim to be Christians that watch all this superhero Superman stuff don't know a thing about the power of God that's right in here. They couldn't explain to you the miracles of God. They couldn't explain to you the things of this book. They can explain to you the Marvel heroes. They can explain to you about the special powers and how much strength they have on a superhero meter. Can you believe it? They actually have a superhero meter. And people actually know what each person has on that. They've memorized that. But tell them to find the book of Ezekiel in the Bible or the book of Habakkuk, and they couldn't find it. But they claim to know Christ. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you ought to put that garbage away and seek the book. And seek the meek and lowly one. And learn from God. Man of steel, man of sin.